Blog Talk Radio.
So without further delay, Daniel Seckham, what is on your heart? What would you like to share with us this evening?
Okay, well, I would say that America at this moment in time stands at a very, very precarious moment in its history. I believe God is basically giving America an ultimatum. It's saying it's either you repent and you can, and I can turn all this around, and there will be breakthrough. There would be corrupt officials who would finally face justice. There would be, you know, God can turn all this around for the good, and the bad guys will get caught and they'll go to jail. But it's conditional, okay? Because if America does not listen, if America is still refuses to turn its heart toward God, then God is in a position where he can hand America over to her enemies. And that is what I am concerned about, massively concerned about. The choice is up to the American people. If they decide to repent and if they turn away from their sin and decide to look unto God, what does the scripture say? If my people who are called by my name, you know, if they would repent from their sin, you know, I would hear from heaven, you know, forgive their sin and heal their land. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but that just goes to show that God is willing to heal. God is willing. God has held his hands out for so long, waiting for America to repent. So it's in a very precarious situation at the moment. And the thing is that the devil has loaded the bases. And there is a breakthrough. But if America doesn't turn around, if America doesn't say, God, we turn away from our sin and we want you. We want to be one nation under God once again. And then he has the power to do that. See, this can, with where America is right now, can go either way. Okay. Joe Biden could get away with what's going on at the moment. He could get away with the fraud. There's a very good chance. You saw what happened in the Supreme Court. Okay, they knocked the case back on its standing, not on its merits, but on its standing, which indicates that they just don't want to have anything to do with it. And what that says to a lot of people, that this whole fraud thing is too big to fail. It seemed that John Roberts, by the way, and there's a very strong case to be made that he is compromised. Okay, with some of when you look at his decisions over this past year, he's handed down decisions in favor of abortion and favor of all sorts of different left-wing causes. So, in fact, I need to say this. There's a very interesting article on Charisma News where it says that there were people who were a part within the court administration, and they overheard shouting coming from the justices' quarters, shouting, and basically Justice Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas were shouting at Chief Justice Roy, relates with biblical prophecy. So I just thought, so what we're going to do, I've got some people here listening, and so we just thought we'd just make a time of it.
Right. Well, that sounds perfect. And what we'll do is I'm going to turn you loose. I have a couple of questions for you. I know a lot of people here in the States are asking the question about vaccines, for example. Is there a different vaccine being administered to the people in Australia, different from here? These types of questions. We know that you've been talking to us for years about socialism, communism, this movement, this agenda within our nation. We've come to some critical times. The Supreme Court of the United States did not take the case. You heard about Matt Barr. You've heard about the Electoral College. There's so much going on in the world today. We're looking through a biblical lens. I'm going to turn you loose right now and just let you speak your Bible study into the hearts of the people. And if you get a chance to answer some of those questions, that would be awesome. So without further delay, Daniel Seckham, what is on your heart? What would you like to share with us this evening?
Okay, well, I would say that America at this moment in time stands at a very, very precarious moment in its history. I believe God is basically giving America an ultimatum. It's saying it's either you repent and you can, and all this, and I can turn all this around, and there will be breakthrough. There would be corrupt officials who would finally face justice. There would be, you know, God can turn all this around for the good, and the bad guys will get caught and they'll go to jail. But it's conditional, okay? Because if America does not listen, if America is still refuses to turn its heart toward God, then God is in a position where he can hand America over to her enemies. And that is what I am concerned about, massively concerned about. The choice is up to the American people. If they decide to repent and if they turn away from their sin and decide to look unto God, what does the scripture say? If my people who are called by my name, you know, if they would repent from their sin, you know, I would hear from heaven, you know, forgive their sin and heal their land. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but that just goes to show that God is willing to heal. God is willing. God has held his hands out for so long, waiting for America to repent. So it's in a very precarious situation at the moment. And the thing is that the devil has loaded the bases. And there is a breakthrough. But if America doesn't turn around, if America doesn't say, God, we turn away from our sin and we want you, we want to be one nation under God once again, and then he has the power to do that. See, this can, with where America is right now, can go either way. Okay, Joe Biden could get away with what's going on at the moment. Yes. He could get away with the fraud. There's a very good chance. You saw what happened in the Supreme Court. Okay, they knocked standing, not on its merits, but on its standing, which indicates that they just don't want to have anything to do with it. And what that says to a lot of people, that this whole fraud thing is too big to fail. It seemed that John Roberts, by the way, and there's a very strong case to be made that he is compromised. Okay, with some of when you look at his decisions over this past year, he's handed down decisions in favor of abortion and favor of all sorts of different left-wing causes. So, in fact, I need to say this. There's a very interesting article on Charisma News where it says that there were people who were a part within the court administration, and they overheard shouting coming from the justices' quarters, shouting, and basically Justice Alito and Justice Clarence Thomas were shouting at Chief Justice Roberts and saying, our republic is at stake. They were shouting at him, our republic is at stake. This is in regard to the deliberation of whether they should take on the Texas case. And I just thought, wow. I mean, it just goes to show like the deep divide within the justices, and the fact that the three justices that were nominated by Trump, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, they decided not to look at the case either. So that speaks volumes. And again, it just goes to show that America has to look to God. Every Christian believer, who loves the Lord needs to look to God. We cannot trust in the courts. We cannot trust in the judicial system. We cannot trust in Congress. We cannot trust in the Senate. Ultimately, we have to look to God. If God is going to bring America out of this mess, and this is exactly what it is, then they need to look to God. God is the one who ultimately can bring a reprieve. Now, I said earlier that God could hand her over to judgment, in which he could very well do so. I mean, when you look at what has happened with the trajectory in which America has been heading over the past, gosh, let's look where you are from the past 50 years.
Yeah.
Remember that scripture in Revelation where it says, consider the height from which you have fallen. Consider the height from which you have fallen. But here's the other thing. If God decides and says, and he will rescue America from this whole situation, okay, if the corruption is so overwhelmingly and so it's impossible to ignore, then Congress could refuse to certify the votes on the 6th of January, and Trump will retain the presidency. Now, if that is the case, then I would say that this will be the final reprieve. The final reprieve. God will say, okay, you dodged a bullet by this much, okay, and this is your final warning, okay? You came so close. You came to the brink of oblivion. You came to the brink when you almost had someone who was wholly owned by, who was owned by China, who makes millions off China, and that's a fact, okay? Joe Biden has been proven to be compromised. He's been taking millions, not just off the Chinese, but off the Ukrainians and also off Russian oligarchs. So the fact that if America dodges this bullet and Trump retains the presidency, I think it will be out of God's mercy that, and he is saying to America, this is your final warning. This is your final chance. If you repent, I can turn this around and I can get you back onto the straight path. But Vincent, as you know, I mean, you've been preaching about this for a long time, and you know where America's heart is at the moment, and it's almost as if America's heart is becoming more and more hardened. They are more following after their own desires than they are interested in following the Lord.
There is a scripture that tells us that the one who is often reproved hardens their heart, and I think that is happening, but it is also a moment in the history, and you're saying it exactly right, Daniel. This is it. This is the battle of a lifetime, and I think everybody would like to stand up and say, this is exactly the way things are going to be, and very few people could stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, this is the way things are going to be. It seems everything is being weighed in the balance, and if we do dodge that bullet, as you say, well, what a weighty responsibility. And as citizens of the United States, we have a Declaration of Independence that I wanted to ask you about this. Our Declaration of Independence tells us as citizens that it's our duty, our responsibility to cast off every form of government that would be an offense to our safety and happiness or a danger. And the government that's trying to come to power right now is definitely a danger to our security and happiness. Would you agree with that, that this is the time for the American people to respond to the Declaration of Independence?
I would say all options need to be on the table.
Yeah.
Now, to those who are really dismayed about this whole situation, and looking into the natural circumstances, there are still a number of pathways for Trump to retain the presidency. Now, attorney Sidney Powell, and she is not associated with Trump's official legal team. She is an independent lawyer. One of the things that's great about this woman, by the way, she's sold out for the Lord. She loves the Lord. But she is a military attorney, okay? She can operate within the military courts. She is the only attorney of the acting lawyers who are working for the American people. She is the only attorney that if it came to a trial by treason, she can prosecute it. She can prosecute treason, which a lot of people don't really know about. But Sidney Powell has four cases that are now being reviewed by the Supreme Court. Four cases. Okay, this includes Wisconsin. This includes Michigan. This includes Georgia. And Pennsylvania, I believe. And Georgia, including. So Lynn Wood is also another independent attorney. He also has a case that is pending on the Supreme Court for Georgia. And there are others as well. And of course, there's the Trump official legal team who have got cases as well, mainly to do with Pennsylvania and others. So there's still a lot going on. There's still many. And by the way, remember the Texas case was knocked back, not on its merits, but on its standing. That's very important. Okay. Now, the plaintiffs within each of these other court cases are actually our actual electors. So by the Constitution, these people actually have standing via the Constitution. If the court was to throw them out on the basis of standing, they would be going against the Constitution. So they have to be heard. So the Supreme Court will have no other choice but to hear these cases. They will have to take them up. If they refuse them, if they knock them back, then what that is essentially saying is that the Supreme Court is no longer, you no longer have a Supreme Court. what you basically have is a banana republic. And I, that it's sad to say that, but there are still legal pathways. Now, if worse comes to worse, and they and the Supreme Court refuses to take them up for whatever circumstances, Trump has another option, and it's this. In 2018, Trump wrote an executive order based on election interference, on foreign election interference. That is to say that if there were foreign actors that were involved in a nefarious plot to influence an American election, Trump could actually enact this executive order, which will mean Trump will have the power to set up a council. He can actually set up an investigative council in which he could in which he can appoint a special prosecutor. So that way, in other words, if the Supreme Court won't review these cases on their merits and reveal it to the American people, reveal all this evidence to the American people, then this special counsel can reveal this evidence to the American people in much the same way that Mueller's special counsel tried to reveal the evidence, which they didn't have any, by the way. So, but there are still multiple different pathways. The other pathway is this. You might have noticed that the several of the Republican electors, instead of endorsing Biden, they endorsed Trump. They put their basically cast their ballot for Trump. What that means is that Trump can still investigation still can go on. He has the legal authority to investigate fraud right up to the 6th of January, which is the date in which Congress comes together and which they ratify the votes. Now, considering that there is so much evidence now coming out of fraud, including the Michigan judge who released the details of the forensic audit of the Dominion machines, and it's been proven that these machines have deliberately these machines are designed to perpetrate fraud. Okay, they were originally designed in Venezuela for the purpose of keeping Hugo Chavez in power. So when you consider that all this information is coming out, right? The judge released that information to the public. The investigations, the forensic investigations into the Dominion voting machines have confirmed that. And by the way, there was a 68% error rate, a 68% in which it shifted votes to Biden. This has now been confirmed. So Trump now has all this evidence at his disposal. Sidney Powell took what happened with the forensic examination of the Dominion machines, and she added it onto her lawsuit pending for the Michigan lawsuit pending at the Supreme Court. So there's a lot going on. I know that's sprouting a lot of information, but there's still a lot going on. And for those who are praying, there still is hope. But ultimately, Vincent, the fate of America rests in the hands of God. It rests in the hands of God. Depending on where America's heart is, he could hand America over. As it says in Romans 1, three times in Romans 1, it says, therefore, God gave them over. God handed them over. And it could be there.
Okay, so let me ask you, I want to ask you a question. And this one is going to take a little bit of, you know, your concentration and focus right now. And then I have a kind of a backup question to it. Number one, what exactly does a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration represent? From A to Z, what are we talking about? Because one has to step back, and this is part two of my question. One has to step back as an American citizen and ask the question, well, this is a very hostile battle. This is a real election battle. We had one like it in 2000 with Bush and Gore, where everything was about the hanging chads and there was all kinds of consternation. But at the end of the day, everybody went their way and President Bush became the president. George Bush became the president and things went on. This seems to be a much more intense battle. What is the difference in the representation? Why is it so incredibly important and critical this moment as compared to, say, 2000? And what does Joe Biden and Kamala Harris represent in the United States that maybe Al Gore and Clinton did not? Hold on one second, Daniel. I don't have you unmuted for some reason. You're not being unmuted. Let me get you unmuted. That's weird. Hold on one second. Big question. Let's get this done right. Can't unmute your guest. Their mic isn't connected. So your mic's not connected. Are you there yet? It's telling me that your mic is not connected. There you are.
Now?
Okay, now you're there.
All right.
So, do you remember my questions?
Yes, I do remember your question. So there are a number of different things. It's so funny, Vincent, because while I was muted, my dog was barking at me. So
he's going, that's a great question.
He's going, exactly. He's going, whoop, that's a great question. So number one, the first thing that they would do, and Biden said that he would do this within his first 100 days of office, that he will pass the Equality Act. What is the Equality Act? Well, this is what the Equality Act is. It is basically the LGBT's most aggressive, the most aggressive LGBT rules will be forced on virtually every aspect of American life. Now, is that exaggerating? I don't believe so. Firstly, men will be given access to women's privacy areas. These are men who identify as women. And it doesn't mean that they dress like them. If they just simply say, oh, I identify as a woman, right? Given access to women privacy areas, this is restrooms, showers, and shelters. Two, males will enter and dominate girls' women's sports. Okay, these are men who say that they identify as a woman, who believe that they are a woman, and they can participate in female sports. And this, look, you've already seen this happening, but this is going to become more and more so. Third, everyone will be forced to use pronouns of choice. So if you don't use the preferred pronouns of someone who is a transgender, if you don't address them by how they want to be addressed by, whether it be he or she or z or their or whatever pronoun they make up, then you could be prosecuted for that. It's ridiculous. Four, insurers and employers will be forced to pay for radical transgender procedures. Not just employers and companies, but also the U.S. military will pay for it. I mean, that was happening under the Obama administration. But this is what is going to take place. Businesses, even small businesses, will be forced to pay for these radical transgender procedures. And then we have religious freedoms protections. And this is one of the biggest things that they intended to do all along. They want to remove the religious freedom protections for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, okay? In fact, they will override all of the different things that Trump has actually written into law in regard to executive orders to do with your First Amendment, such as freedom of religion. But the Equality Act will basically trample all over. The Equality Act is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation that could ever come into be brought into an American society. It's extremely dangerous. And guess which group of people will be in the crosshairs? The Christian church. Mm-hmm. Number two, the next big thing that looking at is called the Do No Harm Act. Okay. And this is basically an additional override of the RFFA in the area of sexual anarchy. Three, a university anti-harassment act will pass. And given that the woke definition of harassment, anyone disagreeing with the LGBT agenda will be subject to sanctions. Four, therapeutic counseling will be banned. Okay, this is talking about those who are counseling. For example, if there's someone who has unwanted same-sex attraction, they have this same-sex attraction and they don't want it, they want counseling, that will be banned. They will no longer be able to seek counseling for that. Five, the Women's Health Protection Act will pass. This interferes with states' ability to pass pro-life measures. Six, federal funding of abortion will pass. This is a repeal of the Hyde Amendment, right, that Trump wrote into law. Listen, all of Trump's pro-life legislation, all of Trump's executive orders to do with removing federal funding from Planned Parenthood, all that will be tossed out. It's just absolutely anyway, number seven, the repeal of conscience protections, federal rules protecting medical professionals who don't want to participate in abortions will be repealed. This means that medical professionals will be forced to undergo to participate in abortions. Eight, equal access for abortion funding will pass. This will force private employers like Hobby Lobby, remember the kerfuffle with Hobby Lobby about 2 years ago with this? No, not 2 years, sorry, about 5 years ago, I should say. This will reverse the Supreme Court decision for Hobby Lobby because that case was premised on the RFRA, not the First Amendment, because of a bad prior decision which required us to write that in the first place. Nine, packing the Supreme Court. This is a big one. This will ensure the liberal agenda, the left-wing agenda, will have free rein. If they will add an additional eight justices, it will override the conservative originalist majority. Okay? It will override the originalist majority. 10, they will likely add D.C. and Puerto Rico as two new states. This will add four new Democrats to the U.S. Senate. That will mean, again, open slather. They will not have to negotiate with the Republicans. They can just do whatever they want in regard to whatever they want to pass. Every voter, and this is the thing, people need to see what's at stake here. And it's not just that. It's also they want to abolish the filibuster. They want to abolish the Electoral College. That's the end game, because if they can do that, then they can only – they can – any – president would just have to campaign in New York and then Los Angeles, and then it's all over. So there's a lot of things I want to do. Now, here's the breakdown. What they essentially want to do, Vincent, is that they want to do what they have done to California, right? Because there's no hope of any Republican coming to power in California at the moment. They have changed all the laws where it's impossible. Democrats are permanently in power in California. So they want to do what they did to that state, and they want to apply it to the entire country. That is the agenda, and this is why there is so much at stake here.
Okay. All right, so let me ask you this question. How does this, what you just described, tie into the communist agenda at work in America? Again, we had a big battle back in 2000 between Bush and Gore. The country was divided. Who was going to win? They went back and forth. Finally, a victor was chosen. Everything went back to normal again. What makes this election so different with the hostilities where you see the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers gathering down, facing off with Antifa, Black Lives Matter, people being stabbed and shot in Washington, D.C. over the weekend with these battles? Why is this so hostile? And again, where does the communist agenda in this country find itself? Where do you see that?
I think, again, America is at a precipice at the moment. A lot of people think it's crazy to suggest that communists are basically at the very threshold, that the enemies are no longer outside the gates. The enemies are in the gates. And this was really the major thing about America. America was impenetrable from the outside, because America's military is a formidable force. It is impossible to take on America militarily or from the outside. That means that the nefarious actors, enemies of the U.S., have to go from the inside. And this is what they have done for the past, gosh, you could say, well, I would say 50 years, going all the way back to the academics that came to America from the Frankfurt School. So from there on, the very first thing that they worked on was capturing the education institutions. That was priority, because if they could capture the universities and the colleges, the Ivy League colleges, then they could basically transform the entire nation within the generations to come. So there's a saying, if you want to know what is going to take place in the culture in 10 years, have a look what's happening in the universities right now. Why? Because the universities are our culture formation institutions. Okay? The academia is our culture formation institutions. And so the left has placed priority on taking down these institutions. Look, Vladimir Lenin knew this. Hitler knew this. Vladimir Lenin actually said, give me 4 years with the children and the seeds that I have sown shall never be uprooted. He said that. He knew. And that's why they have placed so much emphasis on capturing the universities. Look, where is all this heading? At the end of the day, there is a slow chokehold on America. It's like the death of a thousand cuts, if I could put it that way. But to put it this way, I want to read to you a quote, and this is a quote from this is actually a quote from what's his name? Here we go. His name's Nikita Khrushchev. Nikita Khrushchev said this. He said this 61 years ago, 1959. He said, your children's children will live under communism. He said, you Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you finally wake up and find that you already have communism. We won't have to fight you. We'll so weaken your economy until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands. Isn't that sobering?
And what is the definition of communism, Daniel? When you talk about communism, what are we talking about here? I'm going to turn your mic back on again. Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me?
Gotcha.
So communism is where the state owns the means of production. Where the state oversees the ownership and the means of production, and the state basically micromanages every aspect of society. It controls everything about society. Basically, the opposite of that is this. The opposite of that is a small government limited by a constitution where it gives maximum freedom to the people, where the people have their own self-determination to do what they want. That's what your Declaration of Independence about the to pursue happiness, okay, to go on with their own things. Here's the principle, and this is what Dennis Prager said. He said, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. The bigger the citizen, the smaller the government. That's how that principle works. But communism, in a nutshell, is based on a foundation. It's a worldview, and that worldview is atheism. Atheism. There is no God, right? Now, who is the spiritual father of communism? Well, who was it that wrote the Communist Manifesto? Karl Marx. Karl Marx is the father of communism, the father of Marxism. Do you know what he said? Karl Marx said, my goal in life, my chief goal in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. My goal in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. That gives you an understanding. That's why when you read about Nikita Khrushchev, what did he say? He says, we won't have to fight you. We'll so weaken your economy that you fall like overripe fruit in your hands. This is the entire purpose with why the left is so big on lockdowns, right? The left are so big on lockdowns because they want to weaken the economy to get people to have maximum dependence upon the government. That's where it's leading. Now, this whole lockdown strategy goes to another strategy called the Cloward-Piven strategy. Cloward-Piven strategy. These are two individuals who in the 1960s came up with this strategy, whereas their goal was to overload the system. So you were to overload the government with so much debt, with so much welfare, like the welfare responsibilities, you were basically to put as much pressure upon the government, administrative pressure, all different types of pressure you can think of upon the government. So the government eventually, the society eventually collapses. And within the ruins of that comes a totalitarian state. That is the vision of, I think it was Francis Cloward. Anyway, it was a husband and wife, by the way. It was a husband and wife couple, and they were the ones that came up with this diabolical plan. But this is the strategy behind the lockdowns, is to place as much pressure upon the bless me. I always get blessed when I sneeze, but never when I cough. I don't know. It's really weird. But what I was trying to say was that it's all about putting as much pressure. Now, have you noticed who are the victims of these lockdowns? It's not the big businesses, right? It's not Walmart. No. It's not Amazon. It's not Apple. Their profits have gone up. Not these guys. Who is it, the one who really suffers? It's the middle class, the small businesses. The small businesses, they are the one who are going through unsurmountable pain at the moment. So this is the whole strategy. Now, this has been the goal all along, okay? Right. This is what was so as I said before, the whole pandemic was like it was like manna from heaven to the left. It gave them so many different tools at their disposal to carry out their agenda. So yes, it's crushing the economy. That's what they want to do. That's at the heart of what communism is all about. But the other thing about communism that needs to be said is that it's based on a philosophy called Marxism. It's based on a philosophy called Marxism. And I want to read to you what Henry Hazlitt said, because Henry Hazlitt is an economist. And this is what he says that Marxism is based on. He says the whole gospel of Karl Marx can be summed up in a single sentence. This is what he says: hate the man who is better off than you are. Never under any circumstances admit that his success may be due to his own efforts, to the productive contribution that he has made to the whole community. No, he says, always attribute his success to the exploitation, the cheating, and the more or less open robbery of others. Isn't that evil? Yeah. It just goes to show that Marxism is a demonic philosophy that comes out of a poisoned, sinful heart. Probably the best way that can explain it. These people are ungrateful. They are not thankful for anything at all. These people are arrogant, and these people will do whatever it takes. They will do whatever it takes to get their way. Now, I want to read you this quote from Francis Schaeffer, which I thought is really, really interesting. He said this. He says, the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. He said the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. Again, Marxism is a demonic, evil belief system that comes from a poisoned, compromised, and corrupted heart.
Let's put that in perspective. It's interesting to me as you're talking about Karl Marx. It was his goal to dethrone God. Well, he's dead. He's long time gone. So the only way that his goal could ever be achieved is by his writings, which means his spirit that was put into his writings and his agenda and his ideas. And so the people that are following Marx or following the Communist Manifesto or agenda are being led about by a spirit, just like the Islamic world is being led about by the spirit of Muhammad. And Muhammad had his writing, his hadith, his Quran, and all these different things about him or things that he wrote directly and thought about directly. So these spirits are guiding these groups of people. And ultimately, the scriptures talk about the spirit of Antichrist. And so you see this Antichrist in Islam. You see this Antichrist spirit in Marxism and communism. And then the people that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that are serving God, it is his spirit that guides us because of his word. So through a biblical lens, Daniel, is this what is happening in our country right now? Something you could easily view through scripture and say, aha, here's the understanding. Unmute your mic.
Absolutely. One of the most startling statistics that I ever come across was from Pew Research last year. So Pew Research is a statistical organization. They do surveys all the time. One of the things that they came out with last year was this. They discovered that atheists, non-Christians, people who aren't Christians, are 700 times more likely to favor leftist ideology than they are, right-wing ideology, such as small government focused on individual liberties. Atheists are 700 times more likely to be a leftist, to be a person focused on, you know, big government and let's make government big enough so government can make these changes, right? 700 times more likely. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that is because, see, once you remove God, leftists see themselves. They see themselves as becoming God. And again, I want to give you a quote by Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer said this. He said, "The humanist worldview, inevitable certainty, leads in the direction of statism." This is so because humanists, having no God, must have something at the center. And it is inevitably society, government, or the state. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
And I just think, look, again, and this is why I think it might have been a Catholic priest. I think his name was Neuhaus, but he said this. He said that socialism is the religion people get when they lose their religion.
Hmm.
He said socialism is the religion people get when they lose their religion. And I just think, wow, that is so well said and so well stated, because that's what happens. Essentially, when God is out of the picture, it goes back to Genesis 3, when the serpent said to Eve, he doesn't want you to eat the fruit because he knows that if you do, you will become like God. You will become like God. That is at the heart of the matter when men are trying to become like God. In fact, here it is here. Here, Malcolm Muggeridge said it. He said, "What will finally destroy us is not communism or fascism, but men acting like God." Men acting like God. Now, Richard Wurmbrand, now he's the guy who wrote Tortured for Christ, right? He was that man who was imprisoned by the communists in Romania, okay? And he was tortured, and he wrote that book, Tortured for Christ. He says this, "Man must and will have some kind of religion. It is his nature to worship. If he has not a God-fearing religion, then he will have a religion of Satan and will persecute those who do not worship his God." Wow.
Daniel, what you're saying right now is not limited to the United States. I want to shift to just a little bit about Australia. I want to talk about Australia just a little bit tonight, because you on that part of the terra firma earth are going through the same experience that everybody else in the world is going through. And a lot of people are wanting to know, they're actually, curious, You know, how are things being administered in Australia? How are things going in Australia at this time? Is it the same exact administration that we're seeing in the United States, in Europe, in other parts of the world? Or is there something different about this moment that is taking place in Australia? So from your perspective, how are things there? How are the people doing through the crises? What is it looking like? What does a Biden administration do to affect them? Are they as nearly as concerned about this election as everybody else that is here in the U.S.?
I would say that as Australians, in some sense, we're kind of lucky because we dodged a bullet in our last election because we could have had a radical leftist who could have become prime minister, but we were, God in his grace, didn't allow that to happen, thankfully. We have a prime minister who's a Christian, but I don't think he has got good advisors. I think some of his advisors have kind of clouded his vision in regard to some aspects. One of the things that I'm really disappointed about the fact is that the Australian Medical Association has barred the use of hydroxychloroquine from being used in regard to treating COVID-19. If they did that, that hydroxychloroquine being used with zinc and an antibiotic would have been a game changer, would have been an absolute game changer. But they shut all that down. And here, I went to the doctors, Vincent. I went to the doctor, this is probably a few months ago now. I went to the doctors and I said to him, look, just off topic, hypothetically speaking, if I was to go back to America and I wanted to kind of take something to protect myself a little bit from COVID-19, cool. I said, would I be able to get a prescription? Would I be able to get a prescription for hydroxychloroquine? And he said to me, you know what? He said, before March, I would have been able to have prescribed you that prescription before March.
Wow.
But then he said things changed and then it was banned and it was made unavailable. In fact, what I thought was really, really interesting is that doctors were trying to get access to it themselves. Australian doctors were trying to stockpile hydroxychloroquine because they knew it works. They know it works. And so it's been barred from us, from the public, from using. And so, look, and again, a lot of this, and see, here's the thing. I talk along these lines, and there is almost like this air of conspiracy theory. It sounds conspiratorial. But look at what is happening with these guys. Right. For example, Klaus Schwab from the Great Reset. Listen to what he said. He himself said that the pandemic is giving us a small window of opportunity to reset our world. Okay. They're using this whole thing as a pretext. Now that is disconcerting, but for us as Christians, we have to be excited because we don't have much of that time left to go. These people, the globalist government is already coming together. Look, there are people pushing back against the Great Reset in Argentina, people pushing back against the Great Reset in Europe, people pushing back against the Great Reset all over the world. The Global Reset is a global initiative which is undertaken by the World Economic Forum. Okay, Klaus Schwab. And who are the other guys involved? Bill Gates. The other guys involved, Al Gore. The other guys are involved is George Soros. All these guys are in on it. Basically, they want to take, and this is, I know this, again, I have to keep saying to them, I know this sounds crazy. I know it sounds like a conspiracy theory. Look, Time Magazine did a full double page spread on the Great Reset. And now you know how far left Time Magazine. I mean, they just had Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as their person of the year. Okay. Right. They're a complete left wing mag, but they praised the Great Reset. They said the Great Reset is going to be wonderful. People should look forward to it because it'll finally bring equality and justice. It's not the justice we think of. It's social justice that they're thinking of. But they, this is where the world is leading. We are leading down the direction. Now, that leads me on to something else that's interesting to talk about. There is one man who stands in that way. There's one man and one nation, I should say, that stands in the way of this globalist agenda, okay? It's the United States. That is why the Paris Climate Accord was all about destroying America's economy. America would pay trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, right? This is the whole agenda of the Green New Deal, okay? You know, AOC's Green New Deal. America would have to pay trillions and trillions and trillions. It will destroy America's economy. This is all about bringing America down so the globalists can rise, so they can assert their authority. And this has been the whole goal. Now, if there is one man who stands for America and has an America first policy, who is that?
President
Donald Trump.
Sure.
This is why this man is as hated as he is. Like, he is reviled by the globalists. The communists hate him unrelentingly. Communist China have said so clearly that they don't want Trump. They hate him because he stands up to them. They prefer Biden. This is why, it's just so clear. Same as Iran. Iran want Biden, okay? All of America's enemies want Biden because if they can remove Trump, the moment that he is removed, guess what agenda is free to come out? Guess what agenda is free to come out and play. Now, is this the same restrainer that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? It's interesting.
Yeah.
What does 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 say? It says that the man of lawlessness will be revealed when he who is holding him back is taken out of the way. Think about it. It makes a lot of sense. Okay, am I saying that Klaus Schwab is the Antichrist? I'm not saying that. Bill Gates or George Soros? I'm not saying that at all. At the end of the day, I don't know. I don't know who the Antichrist is. Okay? But what I'm saying is, see, that 2 Thessalonians makes it clear. He will not be revealed until the one who is holding him back is removed and taken out of the way. So it could be. And now I could be wrong. Absolutely,
sure.
I could be wrong. But what I'm saying is the entire globalist world is out to remove Trump. This is why there are so many foreign companies, foreign organizations, foreign oligarchs. China invested $600 or $400 million into Dominion. It was $600 million into Dominion 4 months before the federal elections. Actually, it might have been three months before the elections. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, the media will not say this. They will not mention this because they are compromised. And this is why we have to be so careful with who we're listening to. Jesus said that in these last days, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. He was so clear. The very first thing that Jesus said, the disciples said, oh, what? When is that temple going to be destroyed? When is the end of the age going to come? The very first thing he said, watch out that no one deceives you. We have a media that is so compromised and so corrupt and so inherently biased against Christians. They hate Christians. They are talking about everything about, you know, worldly agenda out there, whether it be LGBT or whatever. Okay. Just to make it even more clearer, in 2017, there was a statistical organization that found that out of all the media coverage of Trump since he was inaugurated, all right, in 2017, 94% found that all media coverage was negative. Negative. This happened from the moment that he was inaugurated. In fact, the very next day after he was inaugurated, Vincent, they had the Women's March in Washington. That is when Madonna famously said, I have often thought about blowing up the White House. Okay? This is coming out of the heart of the left. They hate him. They want to remove him. Why? Because he is the last U.S. president who was representative of the American people themselves, the heartland of America, the people who love God, they love their country. These are family-orientated people, okay? These are the people, the middle class that Trump presents, and the powers that be, the elites, that's what I'm trying to say, the coastal elites, they hate him. And they hate him because of the people that he represents, and they're trying to remove him. Now, the other statistic was they found that 97% of all media contributions in 2017, this is all media organizations, of the money that they gave to a political candidate, 97% went to Hillary Clinton. The media are owned by the left. They are completely, wholly owned by the left. And that, you know, here's the thing, Vincent. If they wanted to, they could take me and they could make me out to be the biggest idiot in the world. Whenever they take all these different photos of me, they'll take a photo of me when I look like this. And they'll put that and say, Daniel Second said this, and he is an absolute fool because this is what science says, right? That's how they do it. That's how they do it.
Yeah, it's a very sharp tool that they are using. Let me ask you this question. When the news media is in so much power and they are basically manipulating the masses, they are putting a spell on the mind of the people. You know, Jezebel is stirring her brew, and they're releasing so much information. What percentage of the world right now would you say is wanting or desiring to see this part of America, the Trump administration, the moral, the Christian people that are fighting for the patriotism of our nation, people that want our moral values, they want to live according to our Constitution, they don't want the immoral laws being promoted anymore, they want to tear down these immoral laws, this legislative power, and bring back, you know, morality to our nation. And how many people in the world at this point are actually standing with the 75 million that voted for Donald J. Trump, would you say?
That's a great question. But in order to answer that, I want to talk a little bit about Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky, number one, radical activist of the 1960s left. He was the poster child of the 19. He was one of the, how can I say it? Well, let me put it this way. He wrote a book called 12 Rules for Radicals. I've got a copy of it at home. This was the Bible. If you were a 60s activist, college activist, you know, the 60s counterculture activist,
sure.
That was their manual. All right. Okay. Now, in the epitaph, the dedication page, guess who he dedicates his book to? He dedicated it to the ultimate counterculture activist of all, to the ultimate rebel, Lucifer.
That's right.
Lucifer. Now, Hillary Clinton did her thesis on Saul Alinsky. In fact, right. She wrote correspondence.
90.
She wrote letters. To Saul Alinsky, okay? But that's by the by. What I want to say is that the first rule, there are 12 of them, but the first rule is this. It says, power is not just what you have, but what the enemy thinks that you have. Power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks that you have. So the left are all about trying to get their enemy, which is us conservatives, to think that they are in the majority. That they are the ones
60 seconds.
That are the ones calling the shots. Now, Sidney Powell said something very interesting in an interview recently. Sidney Powell, as you know, is the attorney who's working for Trump. She said this, and she said this in regard to her investigations on the Dominion machines. These machines have been in operation for a number of years within the United States, going back to 2016, okay? In fact, the Dominion machines were basically had an algorithm that will basically ensure that Hillary would have won. Okay. But the thing was, is that so many people turned up and voted for Trump that it outweighed the algorithm. and he ended up winning anyway. This is why they stopped counting, by the way, with the election on November 3rd. They stopped counting because there were so many votes for Trump. Trump was leading in Pennsylvania, leading in Michigan, leading in Wisconsin, leading in Georgia. They all stopped voting at the same time. The voting stopped. And then for a few hours, when they came back online, Biden hit the lead. Okay? And this is after they sent all the observers home. They booted out all the observers, and they went home. And then that's when all the voter dumps turned up. But anyway, that's by the by. What I'm trying to say is this. I would say that there is a conservative majority in America. There is a conservative majority. That is the heartland. But the left are busy trying to squash that. They want to give the impression that they are the ones who are in the majority and we are the ones calling the shots. Now, if election machines like Dominion was removed from these polling places, then I would say you'd probably see a very different result. You know, there are many conservatives in California. There are many conservatives in the New England area, okay, up in the places like Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire. And all those areas up there, there are lots of conservatives. But the left constantly, the left remind me of two barking sheepdogs, right? All it takes is two sheepdogs to control a herd of 1,000 sheep, okay? And it really goes up to the one who has the loudest bark. And see, the left are passionate. They eat, sleep, and they breathe politics. Politics is their religion because, remember, they are like a god. They see themselves as a god. They believe that they are the one that they can bring about change. It goes back to the fact it's an old thing that goes all the way back to Genesis 3 once again.
Amen. Daniel, before coming on the air tonight, we've come to the end of our broadcast here. But before getting on the air, I was at a Bible study and I was with, I think, 8 other people. And the Holy Spirit was poured out in such an amazing fashion. We were, each one of us, on our feet, on our knees, praising God, worshiping God. Holy Spirit's presence was so obvious and evident. And I saw in that environment the glory of God and how we are living in a time where God is willing to open up the heavens and pour out of his Spirit all the equipping necessary to walk through this moment. I believe we agree that this is the most critical moment on the face of this earth, not just in America, but around the world, because everything is going to be affected. And I agree with you. I believe that it could go either way, but I do believe that the reason why we fight right now, the reason why we stand, the reason why we are becoming agreeable with the quote unquote prophetic community that said that this will be a two-term Trump presidency is just because, you know, we did have that dream. Joe Biden did win the election, but something was wrong. And I think we're experiencing the what could be wrong right now, that the cheating, the exposure that could turn things around. So we saw how Adonijah made himself a king, but it was not God's will. But the people had to do something. And God is calling upon we, the people of the United States of America, in this hour. I believe game day is going to be January 20th. And if by January 20th, it looks like Joe Biden is still going to be inaugurated, that means 75 million people that voted for Donald J. Trump need to be in Washington, D.C., inaugurating and anointing and appointing and ordaining President Trump to be the president. That's what happened in 1 Kings chapter 1. A lazy people, an idle people, it will not prevail. And we're the 11th hour generation. We're the people of the 11th hour, Daniel. And Jesus is walking through saying, what are you doing standing idle all day? Come into the vineyard and work. We all have a lot of work to do, and it's the time. The trumpet is blowing. This is a critical moment in the history of the world, because how things go here is going to affect the rest of the world. Your final words before we go today.
Yeah. Look, again, I need to say that there is always hope, and God is the one. Look, God is the one that has allowed the rise of China. Okay? God is the one who brings kings up, he brings kings down. He brings nations up, he brings nations down. And so we can rest and know that at the end of the day, if calamity is going to come and there are going to be storms that are going to come, we are in a boat, and guess who's in our boat?
Amen.
We've got Jesus in our boat. So we don't need to worry about any of that, okay? No matter what happens, God can pour out great wrath and judgment upon the wicked, and we can know that that the Lord will take care of us, that we'll be looked after. But another thing I should mention, Vincent, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, because of the rise of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. Now, what I have been sensing, a lot of Americans that I have noticed are getting increasingly angry about what they have seen happen. They're frustrated. They are livid in the blatant fraud. Not only are they attempting to get away with it, but they are acting like the left are now rubbing it in their faces. And I can understand the frustration, okay, and the anger. But here's the thing: why are they angry and why are they frustrated? Why? Because they are witnessing lawlessness rising in their country. They are witnessing lawlessness rise in their country. Here's the thing about that. We have to be so careful. Jesus said, because of the rise of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold.
Good point.
And we have to be careful that when we see all this lawlessness taking place in our society, we need to take a step back and we need to look up and just realize that where all this is in the big picture of things, okay? When things seem like they are falling apart, in reality, things are actually falling into place. We need to remind ourselves of the big picture. Jesus said these things will come. Jesus said that nation will rise up against nation, just like China is rising up against the United States, okay? Jesus said that there will be persecution, okay? Jesus said that there would be pestilences. And boy, hasn't COVID-19 been a pestilence? Absolutely. All the things that Jesus said were going to happen are happening. We need to constantly keep our eyes focused upon the Lord. We cannot lose our focus on him. And if I were to mention a quote by a guy called Francis Franchipane, I think you know of that guy.
Yeah, sure.
But he actually said this. He said, our primary purpose in life must be to abide in Christ. Otherwise, we can become so consumed with the deteriorating condition of the world that we fail to see the deteriorating condition of our own soul.
Wow. Good. Amazing.
So that's where we've got to keep that perspective.
Yeah, don't let my love grow cold. No doubt about it. Daniel Seckham, we've just simply run out of time. Once again, thank you for bringing this information on the airwave. Thank you for sharing your Australian family with us in the background. Trust that your Bible study has been phenomenal. How's it going, guys? Good to see y'all. Lord bless you. I know you're getting well fed. Look at that. There's the family right there. Lord bless you from the United States of America. We'll see you all in eternity, if not sooner than that. And Daniel, hopefully one day we'll see you back over in the United States again. Stay the course, brother. A final word, anything else? Are you set to go? Set to go. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Daniel Seckham joining us all the way from Australia. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry. Make sure you like this video. Subscribe to our channels. Thank you for your blessing. This will be aired tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. right here in Northwest Arkansas. And then I'll be back on the air live on Thursday with a very special message. And on Friday, a friend of ours is going to be sharing his testimony about his family being confronted by communism in Canada many years ago and how they were to be shot to death, but actually God opened a door, made a way where there was no way. Jacob is going to be joining us on Friday for a live testimony about his experience with communism. Hope we'll see you for that. And again, on Thursday, I'll be live sharing a prophetic word that I believe is going to put things in perspective. Tomorrow, this interview with Daniel Secum will be played again. If you know somebody that wants to tune in, make sure that they do, and make sure that you go and support Daniel Secum, his ministry, and keep him activated and flowing and going, okay? It's been an honor to be with all of you. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom. God bless you. Right now, OmegaRadio.org. That's OmegaRadio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And right now, there's a Deliverance Christian Bill of Rights, a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier, the author of the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. That's happening right now everywhere in the world, OmegaRadio.org. God bless you, and we will see you soon, tomorrow, Lord willing. Over and out.